Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Buck Brief. On this episode, my friend Brian Dean Wright. You got two CIA guys diving into the Middle East. Going to tell you how it really is and what's really going on and more. Brian also has the Wright Report podcast, which I recommend you all go check out and subscribe to yourselves. My CIA brother from another mother. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. So good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can we talk about one thing before we dive into the Middle East? Do you ever get a little bit frustrated lately on the right? Well, the one thing is, because everybody knows, I mean, I went right out of CIA, worked for Glenn Beck. I've always been conservative or right wing. Anyone who knew me in real life, I was considered a kind of a right wing loon when I worked at CIA. I mean, not in my work, but you know, people who knew me going all the way back to when I was probably about 15. I was like, I'm right wing. People now think that CIA, they think of it in terms of you're part of some like Illuminati deep state conspiracy and you can't be trusted on the right. I look at them. I'm like, I joined the CIA to join the unit that was trying to hunt and kill Osama bin Laden after 9/11.
I didn't go
in there to be, you know, to be the bag man for Hunter Biden or something. You know what I'm saying? I wanted you to address this, because whenever someone's, oh, you can't trust me, CIA, I'm like, I went into CTC in the bin Laden unit. Like, what do you want people to find bin Laden and kill him or not?
Yeah, look, I do get this as well. And I actually think it's fair. So I think that there are two different eras. There was an era that you and I joined in, which was back in the day, immediately after 9/11. We were going after the bad guys. We were killing them and we were doing what we needed to do to serve the American people. And we didn't care about politics, man. That stuff stayed at the front gate. You and I remember those days.
Yeah. There was a time where CIA had a clear, united mission. It did exist for a little while.
That is correct. Yes, that is correct, sir. The Trump-Russia collusion investigation, I think, changed a lot of things. You can probably go back a little earlier than that as well. Some of the hires that you started to see in the Obama era, there was a huge switch from mission of for others, for the country. It was all about the self. It was my truth. And I don't know if you ever were there or you would talk to people when they would start working during that time. And a lot of people just became very much focused on the me. And I think what was it, 2 years ago, we had those CIA recruitment ads. They were talking about being intersectional and bipolar. And none of that was about actually the agency or mission for the country. So I think you combine those two things, these crazy ads, they're asking people who would have mental illnesses and intersectional, which I don't even know what that means. It sounds like a sofa. But the point is, they're recruiting these crazy people. And we got the Trump-Russia collusion thing with guys like John Brennan and James Comey at the FBI. And it just poisoned the waters. And I think a lot of people, for very good reason, are like, I don't know if I trust you. If you got those three-letter agencies behind your name, I don't know. I'm a little suspicious. So, yeah, look, I think for the rest of our lives, we're going to be smeared with that. And it's going to be our fight, which is
well, because you and I both know. Look, I wanted us to be able to go on the record at least somewhere and say, you know, in the post 9/11 days, really up until the Obama administration. So there was an 8-year period at the CIA where it was all about, now put aside the, I know there's the Iraq WMD part of the conversation. People who worked in the Iraq office leading up to the invasion were a part of that. People like me who joined the Iraq office in like 2006, 2007 had nothing to do with that. We were trying to find the Al Qaeda in Iraq guys who were beheading people and turning the country into hellscape and a civil war. But before that, I came into CTC, and I know you were working the counterterrorism mission, too. And I just think that it's worth like letting everybody know. I lasted for 2 years of the Obama administration. And I was like, I'm out. I can't, maybe three years of the Obama administration. So I didn't. I was like, I'm not going to stick around for this. I went to the NYPD for one of those years. So anyway, but it's a little bit. Right. I see it now more than ever with the FBI, though, I've got to say. And I had some friends who used to be in the FBI back in the day. FBI at the top level lost its mind, man. I mean, and deserves to lose a lot of the faith of the American people. I'm not saying CIA doesn't. We've already been taking shots at CIA. FBI,
yeah.
I don't trust them. I'm going to say I don't trust FBI anymore.
Well, you got a couple of great special counsel reports that give you very good reason for that. The lack of strict fidelity to law. That is one of the great lines that came out from the Durham report. So, yes, we all have good reason to say that the FBI might have some troubles these days.
Yeah, it's disconcerting. All right, let's move this to the Middle East. But first up, I want to tell everybody about my friends at American Financing and how they've been helping your neighbors save money for 25 years. They saved their customers an average of $854 a month last year by tapping into their home's equity to pay off high interest debt. And with mortgage rates dropping into the fives, now's a great time to call American Financing. All it takes is a 10-minute call to 866-890-9392. They never charge any upfront fees, and that's why they have over 7,200 Google reviews and 4.7 star rating for those 7,200 reviews. Think about that. They've helped thousands of customers, including me. I got my mortgage for my primary home from American Financing, and they help people save money, put them in a better position. They can do it for you, too. 866-890-9392 is the number. That's 866-890-9392. I'll go to AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.406% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-890-9392 for details about credit costs and terms. All right, Brian, we lost three of ours killed in action in Jordan on a base, a drone strike from, they believe, Kataib Hezbollah. What should be done about this?
Well, so I think looking small picture first, and let's go big picture in a second. The small picture is we have lost deterrence, right? So a lot of folks in the Middle East, a lot of governments, terror groups, the Iranians beyond, they just don't believe that we have a credible military. We don't have a credible commander in chief. And so they think they can get away with a lot. And they are. We're seeing this with the Houthis in the Red Sea. We're seeing this in places like now painfully in Jordan, but it's in Syria. It's in Iraq. So the question is, what do we do in terms of this immediate short-term response? We can certainly hit the Iranians hard inside of Iran or throughout some of their various proxy groups in the Middle East. We can hit them. We can do that. The Biden White House is trying to find this sort of Goldilocks approach which is, well, we want to hit them, but not too hard, not too just right. I don't know what that looks like. I don't think the administration does either. So now the big question is, whatever you do, it's going to escalate. The Iranians have already decided they want to escalate. But stepping back for a second, Buck, why are we in the Middle East? Why were those three folks there in Jordan? I think that starts to get to the bigger question of what comes next. Maybe the short-term strikes, fine. But we really are there now, I think, for one of two reasons. One, people will say, think of the Pentagon, the CIA, we need to go towards at the root cause of Islamic radicalism. Do we really need boots on the ground for that? We should be debating that. The bigger question is around oil. That is historically why we have been in the Middle East. Well, because of the fracking and the shale revolution, we are actually the world's biggest producer of oil and natural gas. We produce about 20 million barrels a day. We consume that as well. So do we need to be there? Can we have a fundamental change from the 1917s to the 1930s when we and the Brits rushed into the Middle East to try to secure oil? Do we really still need to be there? Because beyond oil, why do we have folks there? So I think that that is the bigger sort of medium to long-term question that we should all be asking ourselves about. But in the short term, yeah, we can certainly hit the Iranians. We can hit them hard or not. But I think this bigger picture stuff also should be part of the calculus.
Yeah, I say to people, I mean, the Wall Street Journal had its, these are the three things that can be done. One was hit the proxies directly. Two is hit Iran directly. And three was economic stuff and diplomacy, which is like, you know, suffer in silence, basically, right? No one cares.
Yeah, yeah.
But even on those first two levels, you know, I think you do it to establish some deterrence. Fine, but they're still going to do this kind of stuff.
That's correct.
So I'm not sure how effective it is, even as a deterrent effect. You really just want to be able to stop them at the tactical level, at the operational level, right? Because I don't think changing the Iranian proxy militia calculus, whether it's Kataib Hezbollah or just Hezbollah or any of these groups, the Houthis, I mean, talking yeah. about what they've been doing and firing off at ships, that that's likely to happen. So how worried are you? People seem to get very energized about the possibility we might get dragged into another Mideast war. Do you feel like that's overblown?
I think that anything is on the table now because you have an administration that doesn't quite know what it wants to do. You have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs who's put out mixed messages. The Pentagon is as well. I think that the one thing that probably limits a much, much bigger response is the fact that Joe Biden needs to win in places like Michigan, Arizona, Pennsylvania, that have very big either Arab or Muslim populations, and they would sway the election. And we know that Mr. Biden is facing serious headwinds, definitely in Michigan with this, you know, abandoned Biden campaign. So he is struggling. And I think any kind of bigger Middle East conflict is going to not be good for his reelection effort. So I would say that from the political calculus in the White House this morning, or today, I should say, I don't think they want to push for war. And that's why it's all about politics. And if that means that a lot of our people in uniform have to be put at greater risk because we don't have a deterrence anymore, well, I think the White House is okay with that, which is awful. But I think that that is what the White House is saying right now. So I think that we could stumble into a much bigger conflict. But I think what is holding back the White House right now is the fear that Biden will lose his reelection effort if he pushes too hard.
All right. I want to ask you also about that period where the Secretary of Defense was MIA for a few days while he was getting his surgery done. So I want you to weigh in on that. But first up, we're talking here about tension on the world stage and how very real it is. I mean, look at the Middle East, right? That's just one example of how things can change very rapidly and it can have a real effect on the global economy. And there are other folks out there who watch this very closely and specifically through the lens of what this could do to the economy. Former Wall Street insider Tika Tiwari has some very strong opinions on how world events are going to influence the value of the dollar in this next year. He's put his thoughts in a video form so you can not only hear him speak, but see his research findings as well. It may well have an effect on the value of her dollar and your savings account, too. It's worth your time to watch this and see what Tika thinks can happen and how you can prepare. Go to MoveYourCashNow.com to learn the three steps you need to take to protect and grow your wealth in the coming months and year. That's MoveYourCashNow.com, MoveYourCashNow.com, paid for by Palm Beach Research Group. Brian, the Secretary of Defense was gone and his next in command was on vacation and nobody knew what was going on. What happened?
Goodness gracious. Well, I think that's a great question for the White House to answer and our Secretary of Defense. Why did he think that it was appropriate to disappear, to not tell anybody as he underwent his mysterious treatment for something. Then we found out it was cancer. Obviously, we hope the best for him is in his recovery. But secretaries of defense, you know, come on, that is not something that you want to hide, no matter if it involves a degree of embarrassment, which is what I assume Mr. Austin, why he hid his ailment. But you just can't do that. What does that say to the national, to Globe about the leadership, that you can have a secretary of defense hide something from the commander in chief? That's a problem. That sends a pretty clear message around the world that we got some dysfunction in D.C. And we do. So that's why that was so bad, is how the rest of the world looks at the strength of our military and the strength of our government, and whether or not our commander in chief actually has a hold of his own team.
Brian, is there one place that you're keeping an eye on right now that you think could either get much worse? It's already bad, but could get much worse, or could just turn in a hurry and we got much bigger problems than we ever thought we would. You know, is there a possible flare up, a hot spot that you're keeping an eye on other than just, you know, Ukraine and, you know, Israel/Iran stuff?
Yeah, the big one, man, is Taiwan and what happens there in the South China Sea. And the fundamental reason there is because of computer chips. We rely on Taiwan for the vast majority of the computer chips that go into lots of stuff, to include our military, of course. But it basically is this little island that is responsible for modern life. And so if there was a war there, there's a cyber attack, an EMP attack, whatever it might be, profound immediate effects on all of us everywhere, certainly in the homeland. The other piece that we are learning more about is China is embedding a lot of this malware in our country to basically shut down modern life as well. So in the hours leading up to or post invasion of Taiwan, that switch gets flipped, then you are looking at chaos, anarchy inside of this country. The U.S. president distracted to not defend Taiwan, instead trying to deal with all the anarchy here. China has done that. That's a Volt Typhoon is the group that has done it. So Taiwan is a big one for me. I know it is for a lot of other people, but we could see some interesting conflicts also in the South China Sea over some of these little second line islands. That's the big one for me.
Brian, before we let you go, and everybody should check out The Right Report, Brian's podcast, where he dives into these issues. And he's actually somebody who talks to national security issues, who knows what he's talking about, which is nice because, Brian, as you know, and I know, a lot of people go on TV and like, this guy doesn't know anything. Happens a lot.
By the way, do you ever get somebody to reach out to you and be like, hey, Buck, what do you think about this issue abroad? And you're like, oh, I think fine, you know, the XYZ thing.
And then they're on and Fox like an hour later. Yeah, of course. Yeah, all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, just if it's like a friend of mine, it's fine. But it's just like, hey, dude, haven't heard from you in like five years. What do you think about the Houthis?
Right.
And I'll be like, you mean the Houthis in Yemen?
Right. You know, close.
Yeah, you're close, buddy. Anyway, yes, that does happen to me with some frequency. So let me ask you before we let you go. You get to assign a high school or no, let's say college level class on intelligence, one spy novel. What is it?
Oh, man. Oh, God. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. I mean, come on, that book. Yeah, amazing.
Can't go wrong. Can't go. Okay. And you get to show one movie about the agency to that intelligence class. What is it?
Do you remember the old movie called The Recruit? I watched that on the bus going to the farm. It was with Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I remember. You liked that movie? I thought that movie was so boring.
It was awful. But the best part was I was on the bus going down to the farm while I watched that, so I can tell fun stories about that. And we were all like, are we going to die? Is that what this is really like? Why are they showing us this movie as we go to the farm? This seems crazy. Yeah. So anyway, that's only because there's a great memory there.
You're just like riding around bicycles, going to the mess hall. You're like, hey, this isn't so bad. Like the farm is actually kind of cool.
Like being it. Yeah.
I always liked the farm. I mean, you know, I didn't spend as much time there as you did, but I liked it. I would go and get to cool stuff.
Doing
and things that go bang and
course,
things that go boom.
And
it was pretty good. So wait, but you didn't give me your answer though. What is the movie that's the movie you wouldn't show? Okay. What would you show?
Oh, man. Look, I nothing comes to mind, and I'll tell you why. All these shows represent
you're
like
killing
the,
me. You got to give me an answer. What about Spy Game with Redford? You got nothing for me?
Oh, man.
You don't like Zero Dark 30? I mean, I can't let you off the hot seat here. Zero Dark 30 doesn't get it done for you?
Okay. fair enough. The Zero Dark Thirty, that was solid. That was absolutely brilliant. That is a lot of fun. There you go.
Okay.
Thanks for saving me. That was a good
show. I'll throw you that lifeline. Zero Dark Thirty, very well done for what it was. I thought it was pretty excellent. I also think 13 Hours, because they just had the GRS guys as consultants, and I mean, I think that's a underrated movie and very good for what it is.
Amen, brother. And I'll tell you, a lot of those that you're highlighting now, it's how it actually is. And that's why I hesitate with all of these movies. It tells you kind of the CI or the Hollywood version. Now you're getting to stuff of what it's really like and the painful stuff, the hard stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I never got my exploding cufflinks or the laser guns in the headlights of my Aston Martin. Like, I was a little upset
about
that.
The beautiful little lady? Did you get one of those, or is your wife going to listen to this? How are you going to respond? Let's be careful here.
Bond girls? I don't even know what you're talking about. When I was in the agency, I don't even know if there was such a thing as Bond girls. You lock it up, sir. No one's read into that program. All right, we've had enough of that. Go check out the Wright Report with my friend here, Mr. Brian Dean Wright. Brian, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Take care, man. Be well.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.